Good afternoon. Today is Monday, December the 29th, 357th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from St. Bernard's, Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown.
Good afternoon, Mr. Peck.
Say it slow like you care, baby. Say it slow. So, Dave, what'd you bring Craig in for?
He's pretty entertaining.
I mean, okay.
I am.
So he's going to be carrying the filler. Lion's share of the discussion today.
If all goes well, yes.
All right. Well, so we'll talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
When we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown and Dave Sharp. But before we do our quote this afternoon, oh, I got a whole bunch of love quotes here.
Love.
You, huh? Okay. Ella Fitzgerald.
Excellent.
Okay, 1954, quote, "I guess what everyone wants more than anything else is to be loved."
Yeah. Good, Ella.
Yeah. Boy, you're really working these single-syllable responses here to T, aren't you?
Mondays are my monosyllabic days.
Yeah. Good. You're not taking a day off then, are you?
No.
Oh, boy. So, obviously, you guys are in spring, or not spring, but Christmas break.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, we are, yeah, Brian. It's an extravagant vacation.
What did the school do last week? Yeah, certainly being a Catholic school, you have freedom and flexibility to do things that non-religious schools don't have that flexibility of doing.
Well, we had Mass. We had a school Mass on Thursday morning, two school Masses on Thursday morning. Father Tom Diaz said Mass with our elementary kids, and Father Mike Cloney of St. Bernard fame said Mass for our high school and junior high kids later that day.
Do the kids get it? Get Christmas?
They get it about as much as the adults do, Brian.
Okay.
that's across the board. There's everything from open mouth. I forgot my monosyllabic word I was going to use. Open mouth awe to befuddlement, depending upon their family background, their religious background, or their families, and how long they've been at the school, and how much religious ed they've received,
and how often they attended Mr. Brown's class.
Yes, and listen,
and was it awake? Yeah,
various degrees of attendance.
Well, you know, you get five syllable Friday, and it just kind of makes it tough.
I say that for the seniors.
Now, you guys have got a little bit of a different twist in the international component, also, where there may not even be a cultural recognition of what Christmas.
That's often the case. Yeah, or the students we get from the People's Republic of China often meet their first day of religious ed, especially with the question, "Jesus who?" And, you know, we have to explain that Christ is not his last name, it's his title.
And not said with an exclamation point?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In a very pastoral way. And then, you know, we start with scratch with them. And
what about with the domestic kids who don't have any spiritual background either? Do you have to unwind certain things before you can start working forward with them?
That is the case of a lot of times. There are some major differences in spirituality between fundamental Protestant churches and the Catholic Church, but we always start with what's common. And so if they know who Jesus is and they understand the gospel message, then you can start from one point. But a lot of the domestic kids are coming to us just like the international students, with no faith background. materialism is the thought process of the day for even people in the United States. So you have to go from that, take them from where they are, and that is usually the first week or so of religious ed classes, is just getting to know the kids and understanding their understanding of spirituality and who God is. And
so what are some of the more challenging things as you've run into for this Christmas season?
This Christmas season, especially, you ask pointedly. let's see, a specific Christmas season challenge as far as...
All right, is this year any more challenging to get the concept of Christmas for those who don't have, or for the international kids, particularly with some of the racial strife that's been going on?
Now that hasn't really seemed to impact our students much, as far as the police violence and the racial component of that question. We haven't had too many discussions in the class about that. The biggest problem this year, and it's not a different problem, is, again, going back to one of my favorite straw horses, is materialism. Is the idea that this is a, well, in its origins anyway, even in this country, was a spiritual recognition of our salvation from death and sin, and that's been lost in the glitz and the tinsel and the shopping, and it's been lost to what might be to some people a shocking degree, that there is very little spirituality in the hearts of people, it seems like, when it comes to Christmas.
Even the tinsel?
Yeah, the tinsel, well, you could say that that's a reflection of the light of Christ, but you can use it as a teaching moment, but it is all about decorations and shopping and presents and parties, and that's, there's nothing wrong with celebrating and getting families together, that's great, but the reason we get together, the reason we share gifts with each other, is in celebration of that incredible moment in human history when we were saved.
Will you also intertwine the Jewish faith?
Only and so far as it's the
their holiday this time of the year.
Hanukkah?
Yes.
We do cover Hanukkah. We have a specific world religion class, and so we do talk about all the world's religions in Judaism. And we do talk about Hanukkah and the menorah and the whole idea of the oils not running out and the miracle of that.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Craig Brown and his single-syllable words.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown, who handles religious studies for St. Bernard's, and Dave Sharp, who makes sure that everybody shows up on time to work.
Yes.
Good. There's a little inside humor on that one. We'll just kind of let it flow out of that one. Craig, one of the concepts I would think that is really intriguing is you're talking about materialism. As the school is in need of certain things and doing fundraising, and then on the other side you've got materialism being not necessarily something to be embraced this time of the year. How do you equate the two?
That I think that is one of the common struggles for just the church in general and religious education institutions probably particularly is that we do have to operate in the world, and the world requires certain kinds of resources that don't just grow on trees, like money. Yeah. So we do have to look, keeping our mind and our focus on the mission of the church and the mission of the school and what resources we need to accomplish that mission. And that's kind of the bottom line is, we're not here to make money. We're definitely a nonprofit organization. So the resources we get as far as time, talent, and treasure that's shared so generously by the community with us and the money we get from tuition is all there to serve the mission of the church, which is to inculcate the gospel of Christ in the hearts and minds of youngsters.
Now, we haven't talked about tithing in the past.
Inculcate. I heard. Did you hear me say that?
Inculcate. Yes, I did. I figured that you were having a tough time enunciating. Because it was like more than two syllables.
Yeah, well, you see the beads of sweat on my forehead.
Yeah, we may need to take an early commercial break. The concept of tithing, and which is kind of around the discussions we're having with the recognition and the understanding of Christ. If there's no charity in someone's background, tithing is something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing obviously happened before government required or extracted what many think is tithing. How do you deal with the concept of tithing, charity, giving this time of the year in a non-material fashion?
Thank you for softballing me.
Softballing, that's a three. All right, he's awake now and moving.
tithing is, let's see. So are we talking about the difference between taxation and tithing?
Well, the concept of tithing, helping the church and
right.
helping those less fortunate,
mm-hmm.
has kind of been usurped, listen to me, Hedge, has been usurped by government, by bureaucracy, by
okay.
structure.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So does that replace tithing? And in some weird sense, is that actually doing Christ's work, even though we've got these separations of state? And then you whip in the concept that doesn't exist for some folks of charity.
I think you've led me to a story I'd like to share, Brian. Actually, there is a story, and I use this in my social justice classes. I call it the babies in the river story. And it points, I can see you looking at me out of the corner of your eye. The babies in the river story, can I give just a shorthand version? How much time do we
have? Sure, we got a couple minutes.
A group of friends are at a river having a barbecue picnic in the summer, and they're having a good time, and they suddenly hear a cry from the middle of the river, look out, and they see a wicker basket floating down the river with a couple of tiny pink fists waving in the air, and the cry of a baby. Somebody runs out, grabs the basket, pulls it into shore. Suddenly see another one, and all of a sudden there's this whole train of baskets, wicker baskets with babies crying, and this whole crowd of friends goes out one at a time and they pull the baskets in, and somebody in the crowd finally has the thought that, well, where are these baskets coming from? So he runs up river to find the source of the baskets and stop it. And unfortunately there's no real dramatic end to the story, like what the strange source of baskets are. But that's the two main actions of social justice. Going out in the river and saving the baskets one at a time is charity, working one-on-one, making sure our brothers and sisters have what they need immediately to get by. And then justice is stopping the process that makes that a necessity. So the taxation and the social structures the government has set up in order to help our brothers and sisters have so much less is a great thing and a necessary thing. Every culture and society has to have those structures in place, and it's the fundamental reason we have governments, is to take care of our brothers and sisters who can't care for themselves. But that doesn't take away the dictate that Christ gave us, that we have to look at the people next to us, the people that God brings into our lives, and do what they need.
So then the question is, if tithing is supposed to be 10 to 15%, is that of net or of gross?
I'm not an accountant, Brian.
No,
but
okay.
I would say.
Oh, okay, I'll boil it down then for you, big boy. Before taxes or after taxes?
I don't think it really comes into the equation. You give what you can, whether that's gross or net, is up to you to decide, each individual. And the word tithing is, the root of it is 10%. But, and there are churches that say that that's a pretty hard and fast rule, that whatever your 10% is, and I think most of the time it's gross salary, then that's what you need to give. The Catholic Church has always taught that the concept of tithing is time, talent, or treasure. Any three of those things in any mixture that a person feels is good for them.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp and Craig Brown from St. Bernard's. Craig, what is the basic message that people miss about Christmas, and even the 12 days of Christmas? You mentioned the material, and that's certainly the evolution that a lot of the sectarian has gone. But is there a basic underwriting theme that people just are missing?
I think they're missing the incredible idea of incarnation, the idea that the omniscient, omnipresent God thought so much of us that the sacrifice of the cross is one thing, Jesus' passion and resurrection, but the sacrifice of God emptying himself of his glory and his power and his might and his majesty to become a mewling little pink infant in the arms of a probably 14-year-old girl, impoverished with no home of their own, when he could have been born a prince of Egypt, a prince of China, a prince of Rome, he decided to be born in those humble circumstances in that place of the world, Israel, which meant practically nothing to the wider world at the time. That idea, that the self-emptying of God, what the Greeks call the kenosis, the kenotic act of God of emptying himself of that, and that act of incarnation is astounding. It's if you can stop and think about it and spend a few quiet moments just with that thought, it's incredible. And that is lost in the rush, in the flurry of Christmas.
So who was Mary?
Mary was a young lady. We figure marriage age for our Hebrew brothers and sisters at that time would have been about 13 to 15 years of age. She was what we would call engaged to Joseph, meaning that they had more or less a commitment to each other, but hadn't been living together. And a poor village girl. We figure Joseph was probably a much older man, possibly with children of his own, nobody knows, from a previous marriage. And she had a very supernatural experience and was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says, and had God incarnated in her womb.
It's an interesting intellectual exercise. Out of all the millions of women over a time frame of undescribed, why her?
I mean just the fact that she was a poor simple girl. There are plenty of poor simple girls, so why Mary indeed? That's an interesting intellectual exercise, why he picked her. And of course the church has the Immaculate Conception tradition, the idea that Mary was born herself without the stain of original sin, so that she would be a worthy ark, a new ark of the covenant, that she would be worthy to carry God in her womb. She was without the stain of original sin.
So how could she have been born without original sin?
Because God made it happen. And that is the simple,
so who was Mary,
answer.
Mary's mother?
Anne? There's nothing in scripture about her parents, but Catholic tradition over 2,000 years has kind of produced a backstory to Mary over time, and there's really not much information about who Anne was. She's considered a saint by church tradition, but there's nothing about her being immaculately conceived or anything. As far as we know, her parents were just two good people, but upon her conception, God stepped in through the Holy Spirit and graced her. That's why the angel Gabriel addresses her on that first supernatural meeting with Hail Mary, full of grace. meaning she was without the taint of original sin. And so she was the preeminent Christian apostle, the first one.
Where'd Joseph go?
We don't know.
He kind of fizzled out there, didn't he?
He fades away. Yeah. The last time he's mentioned is...
He didn't turn to education, did he?
No, I don't think he did. Other than he taught Jesus how to be a
carpenter.
Well, and actually the Hebrew word that we translate as carpenter is more closely related to the word craftsman. So we figure, because there wasn't a lot of lumber in that time.
Yeah, there was the renovation of the town just outside.
Yeah, so he was probably more like a stonemason, maybe even. Somebody who could do anything that you needed to do. He could fix anything, so he probably worked a lot with stone.
So where does the myth of the carpenter come into play or take out what more than likely was the factual story that, you know, he was traveling, there wasn't a lot of wood in Bethlehem.
See, he was... Bethlehem was his town of origin. He lived in Nazareth, and they had to go to Bethlehem for the census.
But even Bethlehem didn't have an awful lot of wood. But
no, that whole entire part of the world is not heavily forested. I think they got most of their lumber from Lebanon, up north. That's famous in scripture, the forests of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. But this is not an expert opinion, but I think that just that Hebrew word was more easily translated into carpenter, even though it's more of a broader sense of workmanship with materials.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Craig Brown and maybe a word or two from Mr. Sharp.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp and Craig Brown. Craig, one of the things I think that is intriguing is the concept of the Mass, particularly for non-Catholics. If somebody hasn't been to a Christmas Mass before, what should they expect, but also what could they expect to take away from the experience? Because obviously they're not going to be able to take communion, and some of the traditions are perhaps not fully understood by those who haven't been to Mass on a regular basis.
If somebody were to go to a Catholic Mass for the first time on Christmas, it would be a beautiful experience, I would think. I'm trying to think of my first Christmas Mass, because I'm a convert, so I had in my adult life.
So you have cognitive memory.
I hope.
Other than dementia kicking in. Yeah.
There is that problem, yeah, too.
I remember the pew being hard. That's about it.
It'll be a little longer than a usual Mass. There'll be a lot of your good old traditional Christmas hymns, which are most of them are Catholic in origin. They will see the center point of every Mass is the consecration of the bread and wine in becoming, through transubstantiation, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is the most sacred moment in human time, is that act in the middle of the Mass. They'll hear the Word of God spoken, read out loud, prayed about, thought about. And then they'll watch that incredible supernatural act of the priest through the power of the Holy Spirit changing the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ in remembrance of the Last Supper. And if they can go with the background of the knowledge of what the Last Supper was like, what was happening in Christ's life those last 2 days of his life.
And the story everybody's familiar with is kind of pretty much accurate?
Yes. Yeah.
That hasn't been changed or adjusted.
No, as far as that's that is founded in Scripture. Yeah, that whole act of do this in memory of me, Christ's quoted words, and we quote those words every day at Mass. But on Christmas, especially Christmas Eve, what's called the midnight Mass, it doesn't happen at midnight much anymore. It's more like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that false advertising stuff.
Still, trying to the church adjusting to modern life. But the midnight Mass is what used to be called a high Mass. So it's you'll see incense and holy water and all those things we use to underline and underscore how sacred a moment that is. And that's what they'll see, and that can be pretty moving.
The colors, the yes. purples and the pinks and the whites, is there significance?
Yes, there is. I forgot to bring my catechism with me. But there are, the vestments that the priests and deacons wear, the cloths on the altar, the cloths on the ambo where the readings are done from, are all color coordinated according to tradition. And those colors do mean different things. They stand for the passion of Christ or the virtue of Christ or the kingship of Christ. And they have different symbolic moments.
And the birth of Christ.
And the birth of Christ.
All right. Dave, you got a minute and a half. Go.
Thanks for the segue.
There's no way it's going to be smooth, so I may as well just cut it off clean.
Well, this is probably the easiest talk shop I've ever done.
One of the more entertaining, too.
But as I sit and listen, and as a captive audience, and think to myself, man, I'd really like to take a class of Mr. Brown's, And then I think, well, I actually did when I was a student at St. Bernard's.
Kind of holds that over your head, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unspoken, but it's the devil.
But really, I mean, that those classes, that those teachers, that foundation was a big part of why or what I am today, of course. I guess I mentioned that to mention this. In one sense, we are going to get the word out to new students, new families with an open house on January 21st. That's a Wednesday night, January 21st, 6 p.m. in the school gym, which we just painted through the very generous donations and time, talent, and treasure of our community. So Wednesday, January 21st at 6 p.m. in the school gym for all students, preschool through high school, who are interested in St. Bernard's.
And want to see what this guy looks like.
Yes, handsome.
Well, let's build up those expectations to watch him get shattered.
There's a reason I'm not on TV.
Yeah. Or on the website, or even in the yearbook. Yeah. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you. Brian.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.